Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. It's time for episode 3 of Football and Random Things, presented by our friends at Iowa Diamond. Jared Stansberry joined by Jeff Woody again to recap Iowa State's 26-13 win over the Akron Zips, the Cyclones' first win of the 2018 season. How you doing today, Jeff?
Great.
You didn't laugh today.
I didn't laugh.
I'm proud of you.
I looked away from you as you were talking. So I didn't laugh. I also think that the sponsor would probably appreciate us not giggling in the middle of it.
Yeah.
But I feel like that at this point it's kind of part of the shtick, the deal, the whole shebang.
It's football and random things.
It's fart.
It is football and random things.
Fart.
I saw someone tweeted at us. Well, I guess he probably didn't see it.
Nope.
He tweeted at us and he had some very nice words about the podcast. Told me he got an opportunity to shake your hand, tell you that he liked the podcast at the game on Saturday. Maybe he lied to me.
No, he did. A couple people said that.
Oh, they did?
And so I'm trying to recall which gentleman this was.
I think his name was Brian. He said, I enjoy
the fart.
Football and Random Things podcast.
The fart. I enjoy the fart.
All right, we're going to talk about football and random things when we come back after a quick word from our sponsor, Iowa Diamond.
From the company that brought you the internationally famous Iowa Diamond Dancing Frogs, if you're even thinking about getting engaged, you absolutely have to visit Iowa Diamond, where you'll find more engagement ring styles than all the stores in a major mall combined. Now that's why Iowa Diamond is known as the engagement and wedding ring megastore. But don't take my word for it. Read more than 100 reviews on Google and Facebook, or visit our website at iowadiamond.com.
All right, time to break down Iowa State's 26-13 win over the Akron Zips. Jeff, first of all, overarching thoughts.
I thought it was a double plus weekend. The double plus is the fact that they won, mm-hmm. which is good. Akron's a solid team. I thought that Iowa State would perform better than they did, but I don't think that if we take this game and just look at it as like this is an end product game, then we'd be disappointed. But it's September.
Yeah.
It's a non-conference game. It's a game against a MAC team that you ended up winning. And so all's well that ends well here, especially when, and I was put this together for the Register article today, 36 different Cyclones recorded a statistic of some kind. So tackles, punts, kicks, receptions, something. 36 different Cyclones recorded a statistic that is not including offensive linemen, that is not including special teams guys that got on the field but didn't play. It's not including guys on defense that did not record a tackle but were on the field. So if you assume, I know there were only 6 linemen that played. That was a sure thing, unless they snuck Sean Foster out there, which I don't think they did.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there was just 6 linemen that played, so that ups the number to 42. Then let's take a very, very safe estimate of 12 other guys that played but didn't record a statistics. You're at 54 dudes that stepped on the field on Saturday in a game that was actually tight. And so you're playing meaningful snaps that actually like mattered. It wasn't, you know, some of my first action. Granted, my first action was as I redshirted and played against Northern Illinois and I was on special teams. My first offensive action that was like of any significance, we were playing against Utah and we were getting absolutely drilled in that game, and it hadn't, that didn't matter. But there were a couple games that you actually got like decent, like there was decent play, like there was plays that actually mattered.
Mm-hmm.
And so like Iowa, like I played a handful of snaps that year against Iowa while it was still close before we got our asses whooped. And the intensity is different. And so kind of getting a gauge on like, wow, this matters. Like what I am doing right now has a tangible impact on the outcome. So I think that was the other plus. So they got the win as a plus. And the other plus is they played a whole bunch of dudes all over the field. The only group that didn't rotate on was the offensive line.
Yeah.
I think there are other kind of like little things that little trends that you notice throughout there. And I don't think that was a diss to the offensive line, but like, how do you, like the example is like, so I, you know, I own a gym, own North Hackney CrossFit, and people will come up and as you're training them, they're like, hey, you know, how do I get better at doing, you know, deadlifts, or how do I get stronger at shoulder press or bench press or squat or whatever? Let's use shoulder press, just static shoulder press as an example. How do you get better at it? do it more. I mean, there is a long answer and a short answer. Like, right. You can do all kinds of different ancillary activities and, like, try and, like, jimmy rig your way around the system. But in order to do something better, you have to do something more. And so, like, another example is golf. Like, you want to be a better golfer. Like, you can go take golf lessons as much as you want, and you can, like, go to the range and go play putt-putt. But there's no way to get better at golf except golfing.
Yeah.
And so with the offensive line, it's not that they're – I think that is the weakest position on the team, but I don't think it's a bad position. I think if you were – if it was a bad position, Dave Montgomery wouldn't have 100 yards on Saturday. Mm-hmm. But in order to get them better, they have to play together. They have to just take more snaps that matter.
Right.
So I don't think that that was a diss to them. I think – like I said, I think it is the weakest of a – weakest position group of a bunch of strong position groups. And I would say that I think it was good that they got a lot of meaningful snaps on the day. And they're going to continue to get better as the season goes along. So,
and they were missing one of their primary starters, or at least one of their usual starters, without Josh Mueller.
Oh yeah. And so I don't think that it was a bad game, by any stretch, by any really position group. And I really like the fact that they got a whole bunch of rotations in everywhere. But the other, like, general trends that I picked up, one is I think they've found out who the safeties are now.
Yeah.
I think it's Braxton Lewis, obviously Greg Eisworth. Greg Eisworth is a stud.
Yeah.
And then I think Lawrence White is the other guy. I think those three, I think Demonte Ruth got himself fired.
I was just saying, I think Demonte Ruth played himself off the field.
Two weeks in a row.
I mean, it was what he did on that first drive where he got the personal foul.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it was the next drive
where he got
after Braxton Lewis saved his butt by getting the interception in the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, he just got straight burnt.
And
for
last
the touchdown.
Last week against Oklahoma, that big long touchdown, that big post route was him. He was peeking his eyes in the backfield, not keeping his coverage responsibility. He tried to do too much. All of a sudden, Hollywood runs right by him.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to run that dude down.
Right.
And so I think he got himself fired. And Lawrence White stepped in and played just solid as a safety. You don't need to be noticed. You need to just be there. You're a safety. Like, Greg Eisworth is getting himself noticed because he's doing a lot of just fundamentally sound things.
Well, it's just really good.
Which is fun.
Yeah.
But, like, he just was solid. Like, solid player. And I think that was...
There's really only, like, two reasons that a safety should be noticed.
Interception?
There's only two reasons that they can be noticed. You can either be really good, or you can either be really bad.
One of the two.
And
if you're pedestrian, if you're average, if you're a good safety, you're probably not going to get your name in the box score a lot, which is fine.
Right.
It's like a center, like an offensive lineman. Like, the only time that you're going to get noticed as an offensive lineman is if you, like, pancake somebody, or you get called for holding.
Mm-hmm.
Or something stupid like that.
Give up a sack.
Give up a sack. And you get looked at. And then everyone's like, oh, look at that idiot.
Yeah.
He's a dummy. That's what everybody says.
That's exactly what everybody says. I want to start on the offense. Because I think that was more of the – there was more gripes with the offense coming out of the game on Saturday. I think my opinion – or I guess kind of my observation from what they did against Akron – one, I think they were just trying to not show anything, and they were just going to be as vanilla as possible and say, okay, we're going to just win this game, and then we're just going to move on and, like, kind of just not really worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I think that there were some things that are a little bit concerning that you see about the way they run the offense just as a whole. I was a little discouraged by the amount of horizontal passing that was done, the amount of passing that was done short of the sticks and third down situations
that
and stuff like
me.
That.
There isn't a really a whole lot like that. And again, so let me
put it this way. The way they ran the offense on Saturday got Jay Jordan off the wagon.
Yeah.
He got Jay Jordan off the wagon.
I was a recipient of that text. He also called it deplorable at one point, which seems a bit strong.
He was sending me lots of text messages.
Seems a bit strong. But I do – so not a lot actually bothered me that much. I do think, again, the offensive line needs to continue to be better.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, that's not saying that they're bad, but that's saying that they're not good yet.
Right.
And, I mean, if you want to know, like I said, what good offensive line play, if you watched Iowa-Wisconsin, that's two pretty good offensive lines with a whole bunch of other crap that's around it. But and they were second and three, almost every time. Mm-hmm. Both of them were slowly navigating themselves down the field because their offensive lines are doing all the work for them. Whereas Dave Montgomery has to do all the work for himself at this point. And granted, there were a couple plays where it's actually like, wow, that's a nice big old running lane. Yeah. Nice. So I think they just need to continue to improve. So that was one thing that was like, okay, I see that this is not ideal. I do think you're right. I don't think there was a whole lot of aggressive play calling. But I do think there needs to be.
Yeah.
If that was the case that they are, let's work under the condition that they were keeping some bullets in the chamber.
Yeah.
I think that's fine. Because people know what Hakeem Butler can do down the field. So now let's find ways to get him down the field. And so I think those are the things that if you're going to keep some cards under the table, then let's keep those cards of where he's going to be, because they lined him up. One thing that I noticed that was different as far as him is concerned, they lined him up a lot as the number two receiver, a lot more, I think, than they've done in the past few weeks or in the previous few weeks. And that is a really dangerous thing for me because he's a matchup nightmare for a corner, but a corner is a primary cover guy. So when you move him in as a number two, he's going to be on a safety or a linebacker, or they're going to have to move a nickel around, or they're going to have to flip and travel a corner. So like knock your corner inside and then play somebody else as a number one. Well, then all of a sudden that puts Deshaunte Jones or Matt Eaton as a true one-on-one with a nickel or something like that, where you get a much better matchup for somebody else, especially if he's able to get down the field shots, because then they have to shade coverage towards that number two receiver side and they can't shade it all the way over to the number one. So you're playing with weird space.
Yeah.
So I think that if they are in, again, let's us work under the condition that they were keeping a lot of things close to the chest, and then kind of testing some stuff as they went. I think that this was a good game to get that sort of figured out.
Like, right.
What does Hakeem look like as a number two? And what matchups are we going to draw with him as a number two receiver? And then what does Deshaunte look like when he's playing number one? Because he didn't play the number one receiver very often. So I thought that was a nice little mix. So the things that I say that were a little concerning, though, I did think there was a lot of situational misawareness.
Yeah.
I don't think misawareness is a word, but I'm going to go with it. A lot of situational misawareness that, like, it's like third and six.
Yeah.
And your route on paper calls for 5 yards. You don't run it at 5 yards. You got to run it at six. I mean, yeah. And then it says, okay, well, shoot, I got to come back to the ball because I need to come back to the quarterback. Then you run it at seven and you come back to six.
Yeah.
You can't run it at five because it doesn't matter at five.
Matt Eaton did that twice.
Yeah. And so you can't run it short. And I think Jones had an underneath route one time, which wasn't really his fault of like, he's a drag. You're not running a drag at depth.
Right.
You're running a drag at coverage. But that was a little bit like situationally understanding a little bit more of what you're doing rather than just what on paper mechanically says. I mean, that's why you play football with people, not robots.
See, and I wondered a little bit if some of that was where they're throwing the ball to Tariq Milton or Deshaunte Jones short of the sticks, and you're under the assumption that they're going to make one guy miss and get that, be able to make up those extra yards on yards after catch. But then they weren't able to do it, or they just weren't catching the ball in the right situations to do it.
I think it was just situationally not adjusting your route to what it needed to be.
It is troubling to me, though, when Matt Eaton had 4 catches for 28 yards in the game. 21 yards came on 1 catch. He had 3 catches for 7 yards. That is troubling to me because Matt Eaton, I think, is a better receiver than that.
And he is a much more big play threat.
Exactly.
Guy.
That, like I said, that's somewhat troubling to me. I can understand where Tariq Milton gets 5 catches and only gets 25 yards, but that's because of the kind of routes that he's generally running, mm-hmm. you know?
Right.
But Matt Eaton, it feels like, should be running routes deeper on the field than what he has done at times so far this season. That's just my opinion,
and again,
I guess.
I think you're right. And I think it's, again, let's work under the assumption that they're keeping bullets in the chamber.
Yeah.
That you are trying to figure out what does it look like with different alignments, and especially with 18 as the number two receiver. When you put him there, what does the defense do? You can predict what they're going to do. And granted, every defense is different. Gary Patterson is very much not Terry Bowden,
mm-hmm.
Which good for TCU that's the case. But when you do that, what matchups does the other guy get? And so if they're trying to figure these things out and trying to figure out how to protect and how to make sure we can get everybody down the field safely, I think we're okay with Matt Eaton this week not performing. Granted, the more this team plays, one of the general themes of the offense that I was like thinking about was they now have two layup threats. What I mean by layup threats is that 100 times out of 100, you do the thing and you get the thing you want.
Yeah.
And they, David Montgomery in open space is a layup. And you try and find ways to get him open space, no matter what. First and 10, second and 10, second and 4, third and 6, whatever. You try and get him open space. And then the other layup is you need critical down a distance beyond about 3 yards. Where are you going?
Number 18.
18. Yeah. And so there is, I mean, the keynote example of that is it was the fourth down play. They're in field goal range-ish. But they wanted it. There was tie. I think it was 10 to 10. And so they're trying to get that down the field. Butler was lined up as a number two receiver. He runs an in cut, or he's a dig, an in cutting route. And Zeb didn't look anywhere else. Like, he didn't even, it was no progression. It was, I'm going to throw it to this guy when he opens up. When they give me this, I'm going to throw it as hard as I can at number 18. He's going to come down with it. It's a fourth down. It's only one shot. I mean, you can't miss that play. Mm-hmm. Then later in the drive or later in the game, there was two or three other third downs where it's like third and seven, and they're going to throw it to number 18 and let him do something. So the layup now is, you need something. He is a true go-to wide receiver at this point. So he's put himself in that position of, all right, we need something to happen. Where is he? What's he doing? Which is good for Matt Eaton that he is that guy, because if we notice it as guys that aren't watching game film preparing to stop this team, you sure as hell know that the purple and black in Fort Worth right now are doing the same thing, going, mm-hmm. All right, it's, we know in third and long situations where number 18 is going to be. Let's make sure we take care of number 18. There's only so many players in the field. That means if they push someone towards him, they're pushing someone away from somebody else.
I mean, it's similar to what they did with Allen.
Exactly.
What other teams did with Allen a year ago and 2 years ago, even, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is the identity of this offense? Do they have one?
I don't know if they have one yet. I think there's.
Is that troubling to you?
Not yet. I mean, again, like Saturday, I don't think you can, like I said, trend that. Like, that's a data point that's sort of like a one-off.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa and Oklahoma were so drastically different as to what they did, what they're able to produce. It's hard to trend that either. So I think after this next week, we'll have a much better idea, because TCU is kind of halfway between Oklahoma and Iowa, where they have a better defense than Oklahoma, but their offense isn't quite... Nobody's offense is Oklahoma. So you
right.
get, they're somewhere in between the two. They're good. So I think the jury is still a little out on what they're trying to do versus what they're actually able to do. Because I think what they're trying to be is run the ball, dominate the clock, throw RPOs off of it, and then hit big plays once you've got the defense lulled.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of the offense that they want to run. And they don't really have enough sample size to tell if they're able to do it or not.
Yeah. There's another thing that I was going to say.
No, there wasn't.
Yeah, well, there was. Oh, back to David Montgomery. Wasn't on the field on the first drive of the second half. What do you think about that?
So?
There's a lot of people that were real upset about that whole deal.
So?
Yeah, I kind of was like, I mean, the guy carried the ball 15 times in the first half. You're playing a MAC team. You're pretty much in control of this game.
And he already,
why don't you give the ball to Johnny Lang and Kane a little bit?
And he already was kind of...
Sheldon.
He was kind of already, like, favoring his shoulder a little bit. I mean, there was a couple times, I'm not breaking any news, there was a couple times when he draped his shoulder as he was running off the field. I don't think it's an injury. I think it's more... Well, it might be an injury, but I don't think it's anything that's going to keep him out of anything.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't need to do that. Like, you can't change the oil on a running back and be like, all right, she's running great again. Put her back in. Like, you don't just get to do routine maintenance on a person put him back in.
So there were some people that were very upset on Twitter that he was not in the game at that point. And I tweeted back at Jared Leeper, friend of the program, Jared Leeper, great guy. He said something about that. And I was like, dude, come, like, chill, man. Like, it's all good. He'll be back in there shortly. It's just like they let somebody else get a series, you know?
Let him take a turn.
And he's like, he had halftime to rest. And I was like, okay, well, that's not a very accurate way to look at this thing.
Let's put it this way. It is not about breathing hard. It is not about muscular fatigue. It is about your general joint health.
Yeah.
You can't, like, most people listening to this
contrary to popular belief, David Montgomery is not Wolverine.
He is, you just can't, like I said, you can't just be like, all right, well, looks like his left leg's a little bit tired. We're going to take him to the shop. About an hour and a half, he'll be fine. He'll get a brand new leg, put it right back on him. He's going to be okay. Like, it's not how it works. He's a human being that has joints that, like, if something is banged up, the more you use it, the worse it's going to be.
Yeah.
You already have the game in hand. All is well that ends well. What good does it do to put him out there? Yes, we want to see him. Yes, there, he needs to still continue to improve. He also needs to figure out what the offensive line is presenting him, mm-hmm. whether it's good, bad, the front side, back side, something. There's going to be something there. And so he needs to continue to see it. They need to do it. But we already have a good idea of what he's able, what he's capable of doing. Like the other example, and this is obviously a scrimmage versus an actual game. Like there are times when I was there, the best running back that was at Iowa State when I was at Iowa State was Alexander Robinson. Alexander Robinson, the entire spring game, the entire spring practice, I think got tackled like twice because we know what he was going to do.
Yeah.
That, think of it again as a one-off. We're not trending this against the season. If this was Oklahoma State, they're going to approach it completely differently. Oh, Ryan Vance played pretty well, but he's not going to get the entire third quarter. Mm-hmm. Like, the, you know, you're not putting Brock Purdy in the red
that
zone.
That was actually, we'll come back to that.
You're not putting him in the red zone. You're not getting Kane Nwangu the predominance of carries for like six straight plays. He's a good player. He's an explosive player, but he's not an every down back as you go down the field. Sheldon Crony is going to be your guy that gets the majority of the plays. I think Johnny Lang played pretty well, but let's take this again as a one-off. Let's look at this more through the lens of developmental game than it is trying to win. Mm-hmm. Like if you're trying to win the game, yeah, hell yeah, you take shots down the field. You got Hakeem Butler on a 5'10 corner. Yes, you take that 15 times. But what happens when he goes up in the fourth quarter, you're up by 17, you try and throw him a fade ball and he pulls it, like strains a hamstring trying to chase down a ball. Like what good does that do? 17 points versus 24 points for Vegas might matter. For Matt Campbell, it doesn't. So relax. Just the point for, and I think we talked about this last week, a lot of the David Montgomery treatment, I would assume, is sort of like we talked about earlier where it's like a pitch count. Like you don't need to accumulate a whole bunch more hits to his body than is necessary in games that really don't matter.
Yeah.
I think we talked about this too. Like theoretically, a team could go 0-3 in the non-conference and still play a New Year's Six bowl game because they won their conference championship. So these games, as much as we want them to matter, and yes, they're going to matter for like bowl placement, like where they go for a bowl game, but it's not really going to matter that much. Like, the conference season is what matters. And so the aggressiveness that they played with against Oklahoma, they were taking shots down the field. They granted they had matchups that they liked, but they were running not great offense as far as a run scheme is concerned, but they were trying to take shots. They were taking big plays down the field because that's where they had their advantage. And you contrast that with a team that has clearly lesser talent. I mean, no one's going to judge me for saying Akron has less talent than Oklahoma. And they weren't taking those same shots because it's a higher risk play for the person, for the human being playing wide receiver or the human being playing running back. Let's get through it as safely as we can. We're going to make sure we don't tip our hand too much, even though, you know, obviously you want to run as full cylinder as you can. I think that was Jay's problem is that they're not a finished product right now. And so you need to take as much as you can to practice, even in a game situation, to run your whole offense, to figure out your whole offense rather than trying to keep some in the barrel so you don't tip their hand. Two sides to each coin. I think the whole Montgomery thing, as far as like the first draft, the second half, did they win the game?
Mm-hmm.
Did he get hurt?
No.
Point taken.
Yeah.
Like,
all right, back to the Purdy thing then. What, I am all for getting Brock Purdy on the football field.
That was a weird situation to put him in.
Yeah, I just think that when they put him in first and 10 at the 16-yard line, when they've driven like 60 yards already at that point, Zeb has just made a throw that got a pass interference. And
I didn't even notice
Zeb was. It seemed like Zeb had kind of dialed in, and now we've got the true freshman running out there.
running zone read.
I was going to say, to run back-to-back zone read plays.
I didn't even notice he was in there. I was like, oh, shit, that's number 15.
Yeah.
What's number 15 doing here? And then I wasn't next to Williams at the time. I was sitting next to somebody else, and they were like, is that Brock Purdy? Yep, that's Brock Purdy. Cool.
Yeah.
Got two snaps.
I was sitting next to Chris at that point, and he's like, are they sending Purdy in there? and he just kind of looks at me. He's like, this is a kind of a weird time to make this move, but
getting some snaps that matter.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what the reasoning behind it is, but again, all's well that ends well. The kid got meaningful snaps. It matters. Like, there is pressure in those snaps. Like, what he just experienced is a high-tension environment.
Mm-hmm.
You now know what high tension feels like. Granted, it's two snaps, and it's Akron. It's not Oklahoma at, you know, down in Norman, and Kyle Kemp has to throw a game-winning touchdown to Alan Lazard. It's not that. But it's also not nothing.
Like, yeah.
If it was me, I would, you know, you're moving, keep him moving, let Zeb stay in there, and then put him in the next drive or something like that.
I was going to say, it seemed like it would have just been better to put him in at the beginning of a drive and be like, all right, Zeb, good game, brother. We're going to let Brock go and do his thing here for a little bit.
Yeah, I thought it was very weird timing. And, you know, had there been something that happened, like, I mean, the point counterpoint to this.
It was still a 7-point game at that point, too.
It was. Yeah, no, it was really close.
Yeah.
Point counterpoint here is, here's a possible rationale. And again, I'm not in the coaching office. I don't know what the thought is, but here's one. Let's say he does something stupid and throws an interception. And he throws an interception and you start the drive with him and you're at the minus 25. And he throws an interception on a 5-yard hitch and the guy undercuts it and gets a kind of a catch tackle. Boom. They've got the ball on the 30 going in. They're going to probably get some points on that drive. Now you're on the 16 going into score for yourself. Let's say he does something stupid and fumbles a handoff and they recover it. You're on the minus, they're now on the minus 18, minus 19, and they have to go 82 yards to drive against your defense. It's playing pretty well. The stakes are higher in the offensive side, but much lower in the risk management side. Like, he got a couple snaps. If he screws up, big deal. Like, our defense is doing fine.
Yeah.
Their other quarterback was totally rattled at that point by how much pressure Iowa State was getting, the coverage that they were applying. The only offense that they had at that point was him scrambling. By midway through the second half, it was just how much can he run around and get down the field for, and that was really the only way they moved the ball. So the pros and cons here is that I wonder if they were like, hey, once we pass the 40, Purdy's going to get a couple snaps just because then it still leaves a long field if he does screw something up. I don't know. That's one possible example. I'm not saying it is the right answer. I thought it was a very curious place to put it in. I also play offense. So I want to score points.
Mm-hmm.
As a person who watches a game, I want points. Rather than, okay, let's set up the defense in a better position if there is a mistake. So like risk mitigation versus like reward seeking, whatever. I thought it's peculiar.
All right, we'll talk more about Iowa State's defensive performance against the Akron Zips when we come back on Football and Random Things, presented by Iowa Diamond.
Hey, guys, it's Williams here. On the podcast, on our radio shows, we talk a lot about point spreads, you know, all that stuff. To be honest, I'm not a big bettor, but I'm really just fascinated by that industry. And I want to recommend a service to you guys today if you're interested in that sort of thing. MyBookie.ag is the website. If you join right now, and if you give them our promo code, they will match your deposit dollar for dollar. This is a really good deal. Our promo code is 2427. Again, that promo code is 2427. They have live in-game, live betting. They're in the business for you fantasy guys out there. You can bet over-under on fantasy points for players. There's all sorts of really cool things. MyBookie.ag. Again, that promo code is 2427. You play, you win, you get paid. MyBookie.ag. Hello, Fanatics. This is Chris Williams. There are few financial commitments you will make in your life that are more important than where to get your mortgage from. That's why I want to tell you about my friend Jason Larson at Gershman Mortgage in Ankeny. Here's a real review from a client on Facebook. Jason was amazing to work with. He kept in contact with us where we were at throughout the whole process. When we went to sign, he had coffee and donuts for us that morning. He was super kind and helpful, and we said we would refer him to anyone looking to buy a home. Now that's just one review. Jason Larson, Gershman Mortgage in Ankeny is an equal housing lender. Their NMLS number is 138063. Give them a call at 515-554-6177. Please tell him that Chris Williams and Cyclone Fanatic sent you.
Welcome back to Football and Random Things.
It's still funny. It's always going to be funny. You want to know this? So this is my sense of humor here. I like to laugh at things that you have to think about. I also like to laugh at things that you don't think about at all. And that's a fart joke. So again, mentioned the gym earlier. We will use lacrosse balls for various things at the gym. Like, it's a good thing to really target, like, deep tissue without having to try and, like, have someone's thumb do it for you.
And they're also a very good thing to throw at people when they're not working hard enough.
True, but generally frowned upon, considering that could break things.
Okay, true.
I'll break people, but I don't want to break things. That's a joke. Kidding. But I had two choices of where to get my lacrosse balls from. There's not really a sporting goods store in Ankeny, so I went out to West Des Moines. It's two stores close to each other. One's Scheels, and one is Dick's Sporting Goods. Where do you think I got my balls from?
God damn it.
I specifically went to Dick's Sporting Goods.
I knew what you were... And they came, I think everybody gets it.
And they came, not in a box, but in a sack. I did that on purpose.
Oh, I 100% believe you.
I could have gotten them from Shields. I did not. I went to Dick's.
This is the same person who was
a ball sack.
Who during the break that we just took was making fart noises with his mouth.
I have a master's degree. You hope no one's boss is like coming by as you're playing this.
You have
and I was talking about ball sacks.
You have a master's degree. You appear frequently on television. You write a column in the newspaper every week, and you record a podcast
and make fart jokes and still giggle like a child at saying Dick's ball sack to a group of adults.
All right, so the Iowa State defense.
That's a hard jump. There's no natural transition out of that. So since we're talking about balls.
Can we just transition to defense? Oh my gosh. Everybody out there is just like, dude, this
guy's an idiot.
These guys just need to grow up.
No, it's not you. It's me. Like
I'm trying to play the straight man here.
Yeah, you're trying. I'm not. What else is new?
Yeah, exactly. All right, so the defense. I want to talk about, to me, there was only, they played well. I'll preface this with that.
Aside from the one bust by DeMonte Ruth.
Yeah, DeMonte Ruth messed up once.
If you were to try and find him at safety,
you're not going to.
It was a Where's Waldo, and you were on the wrong page, or you were looking on the wrong side. He played special teams. He did not play safety for the remaining portion of the game after that play.
And I would imagine that we won't see him play safety in the future.
I would agree.
Braxton Lewis is good.
I
like Braxton Lewis. Mm-hmm. He saved DeMonte's butt on that one where he came up with the pick. But that was actually a super awful throw. But there was some moments in that game where I felt like if Cato Nelson could throw the football like at all, it would have been a little bit more interesting.
When I think that they, again, were trying to find a consistency between them. So, like, we've used this before, the basketball metaphor with the offensive line, where the center is the point guard. Mm-hmm. And the secondary operates in a similar fashion because it has to be one continuous unit. Like, yes, there are one-on-one, like, battles. But especially with how Iowa State plays, is they will play man coverage. Especially with their corners, but their safeties a lot of times are going to be drop zone guys.
Right.
And so you got to know how much leeway somebody next to me can handle before I can like start thinking about something else. So like they're still feeling each other out because I think this game was the most that those three between White, Lewis, and Eisworth have played together.
Mm-hmm.
At the three safety spots. And so if you know, let's say you are taking cover three, and let's say, because Eisworth is the center fielder, and so let's say he knows that Lewis can handle more space because he's a little more intuitive, and Lawrence White maybe he's a little greener and he reacts slower because he hasn't seen as much, then maybe he needs to fade a little bit towards White's side so he doesn't Like, so White's not going to get beat, so he can protect that, and he can trust Lewis a little bit more on his other side. So maybe that, like, so there's the case of that. And I think that is going to get rectified very quickly. I think those three guys, I don't know anything about Lawrence White, but I know Braxton Lewis is, I mean, he's an engineering student. He's really smart. I know Eisworth is a really smart dude. Putting those three back there, I feel a lot safer than having number six back there. I think they're all pretty physically talented, but I mean, DeMonte Ruth might be more talented physically, faster.
That group of guys is going to play a lot. They're going to play a lot of football together.
Yeah.
Because I think all three
they're
of them.
They're all sophomores.
All three of them are sophomores.
So you got a good group of guys that are all smart, all good communicators. I trust that group a lot now. Mm-hmm. I mean, finding that rhythm of those three.
Do they play closer to the line than they did last year?
12 does.
Okay.
I don't know if the other two do.
I was going to say, because I was noticing that it looked, especially him, it looked like he plays closer to the box than what Kamari or Reggie Wilkerson or any of those guys ever did.
Well, I think they trust him to tackle a lot.
I don't think they trusted those other two names I said to tackle very often.
So they trust him to tackle, and they trust him to make the right decisions. And so that you can put him a little bit more in the mix and put
I think
him.
He just recognizes things a lot faster than. I think
he's a really sharp guy.
Yeah.
And so having that be your center fielder, he is able to diagnose and quickly get to spots.
Yeah.
That, and with that, if you are playing cover three, you can play a cover three with a rolled cover three. And so your corners can be your two of your deep guys and one of your safeties, and the other two can kind of play down flat. And so you're able to mix up your coverages because how understanding he is of where to fit things.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he provides a lot of versatility for the defense. But again, like I said, the big thing on defense that I took away is there's two. One is that I think they found their safeties. The three, like I said, White, Eisworth, and Lewis. And then the other thing is there is depth. There is depth at each level of the defense. The defensive line actually has like when you take out, I think the biggest drop is Limata Johnson, which is,
but Johnson is still disruptive,
right? And that's just how good.
Got a sack.
That's how good Ray is.
Yeah.
Like he's everything is so much more disgusting. If you're an offensive player, everything is grosser when Liam is on the field because everything just gets clogged right in the middle because he's so hard to block. And you can't get off of him to get to a linebacker because everything's just gross. It's just muddier when you're on offense. And so it's a little cleaner. You can move Johnson a little bit, but again, that's not a knock to him. That's Ray Liam is a dude. But when you take out, because I think Spencer Benton comes in for Jaquan Bailey, and then Matt Leo comes in for Wazirike. When that switch happens, there's not very much difference.
Leo's good, man. He's
an athletic dude.
Yeah. I think what actually happened was Jamal got a hurry where he basically just plowed a guy like into next week and then made the quarterback go to another side, and then Matt Leo was right there to kind of finish the deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, dang. There's what we've been waiting to see from that guy.
What's funny is he still doesn't really know what he's doing.
Yeah.
Like, he knows kind of what he's doing, but he'll put himself in a couple bad positions, but he's athletic enough to kind of react from it and get himself back. So, like, the thing that I would say the most that he does is a tackle a lot of times will invite you underneath.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he's going to try and – a tackle will set farther than he wants. So, you take the bait, go underneath, and then buries you down inside. And then you have – there's a very clear corner for a quarterback to scramble out of.
That's actually what I was just going to bring up. Do you think they're not as disciplined in their lanes as maybe they were a year ago? Because it feels like there's more times where that quarterback does have that opening than they did last year, where I think Kyler Murray was able to take advantage of that. And then I think – like you said, I think Cato Nelson was able to take advantage of that a little
probably,
bit too.
Probably, but also, who's the Mike last year and who's the Mike this year?
Yeah. You think that's what the primary thing is?
I don't think it's the primary. I think it's a good part of it, though. Joel was very good. I mean, he's a good linebacker, and he's very smart at knowing where a quarterback wanted to go, and so would show himself in that space to make the quarterback not want to go there. So he may not have actually forced the tackle, but would influence a decision based on where he was going to be.
Where the guy might not run as quickly as knowing that guy is there.
Right.
Do you think that's something Mike Rose will get better at just as the year goes along?
He just doesn't have enough. Doesn't have enough data to pull from in the old computer bank. Like he hasn't seen enough at the speed that they're playing at to recall information of like little nuances mm-hmm. of, you know, this quarterback likes to run to blank's side of the field and they like to run to blank and blank and blank. Like, okay, I know where that is. He just doesn't have that same – he doesn't have the data points yet. It's not that he won't. I think he's going to be a really damn good football player. Mm-hmm. I think Orion Vance is going to be a really damn good football player too, and I also think Jake Hummel is going to be a pretty damn good football player.
Do you think that they'll move Orion Vance to a different spot?
Or Rose. I mean, okay. Rose might play the Marcel Spears position because I think he's a little more athletic than Vance. Vance is a thick dude.
Is it concerning at all to you that it feels like Marcel and Willie have not gotten as many tackles as they did a year ago?
Not really.
No?
The defense is productive. Yeah. I mean, you've got a balance out of tackles where they – I mean, you got – I think the two leading tacklers were – I think Eisworth was up there. Braxton Lewis, I think, was up there.
Yeah,
pulled
and
the exact
then,
stats.
Jaquan Bailey was, I know, was,
like six.
Was third, yeah.
Because it was seven, dude, was it seven, seven, and six, maybe?
I think he might have played the best game that he's ever played at Iowa State on Saturday.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy.
He switched numbers.
There's, yeah, number three.
He switched numbers.
Yeah. But his name's Jaquan now.
Yeah.
It's not.
Number 19.
Yeah, he's not number 19 anymore.
He's a tubby little freshman.
But he's tough, dude. Like, you can just notice different plays. That he'll make where you're like, man, I'm not sure that he makes that play last year.
Yeah.
You know? And what he – you can see where offenses are have to be aware of where he is on the field because they know that he's that dangerous as
and
a passer.
And just wait till any gets a little more under his belt.
Yeah.
I mean, that defense is good and is set up to continue to be good. I mean, the only guy you really – the guys that you lose next year are your corners, because Payne is a senior too, isn't he?
Yeah.
So Payne, you lose Payne and Peavy, and you lose Ray. And then I think Harvey's...
Ray's only a junior.
Ray's a junior? I thought he was a
senior.
Yeah,
the only way he would leave is if he goes to the NFL. All
right. I thought he was a senior.
I'm pretty sure he's just a junior.
Damn. I thought he was a senior. But if he's not...
Yeah, he's a redshirt junior.
All right. Yeah, Ray back. Woo!
Yeah. But they're going to bring back basically everybody up front again.
Everybody up front and most of the box, because Marcel's a junior, right?
Yep.
Marcel's a junior. You lose Harvey.
Willie. Yeah.
But you've got, I mean, we've clearly seen you have plenty of linebackers.
Well, they've got, yeah, I was going to say they've got, you've got Hummel, you have Orion Vance, and then I think that this junior college kid that they're bringing in, they think he's pretty legit
too.
Well,
and Rose, clearly.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got guys that are going to be able to play. And then
all the safeties come back.
All the safeties come back. So you're really losing your corners.
Yeah. And then they've played a lot of corners here in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, and you've got like... Azuna,
Datron Young has played a lot. Anthony Johnson has played a little bit. I mean, if there's any room right now where they're not struggling to just find people, it's the defensive backfield or like the cornerback room, because it seems like they bring in like six cornerbacks every year.
Yeah.
So they just are continuing trying to restock room, which makes sense because of the conference they play in.
And so they're good, but they, like I said, the defense is good now, and they're set up to continue to be good.
Okay, so Marcel last year was. I'm pretty sure was the team's second leading tackler.
Mm-hmm.
Right now he is seventh.
Okay. He also didn't play much last week.
No. Willie is second with 17 tackles. Greg Eisworth is way ahead of everybody with 29.
Yeah. He also had 14 against Oklahoma.
Yeah. I'm not sure that going into the season very many people would have banked on
Greg Eisworth
being the team's leading tackler. And if someone had told me that he was going to be the team's leading tackler through three games, I would think we're in another Kamari Cotton-Moya situation where it's like the defense is getting gashed so badly that the safety has to make all the tackles.
Fine, he'll make the tackle again.
Yeah, it's the only guy who can make the tackle because it's the last line of defense.
I think that also is a little bit true because the main tackling statistic that you have, I mean, the number of plays that you've run are like a big chunk of it is against Oklahoma, which he was having to make a lot of tackles.
Yeah.
Behind the line. But anyway, defensively, like I said, general themes are I think they found the safeties, and there's depth everywhere. I mean, at all levels. The only thing, I do think there is a drop-off from corners. I think that's because Payne and Peavy are very, very good.
Payne kind of got his butt kicked a couple times on Saturday by some of those guys. Do you have anything to say?
I don't recall.
You this. Don't?
Yeah.
Oh, well, no. There's like a three or four plays where he was pretty far behind some people.
Were there completions?
Yeah. I specifically remember texting Jay and being like, man, it feels like of everybody on this defense, there's only one guy who's consistently gotten beat today besides DeMonte Ruth, but he was only in for a little while.
Yep.
And that was Payne.
Huh.
But I'd heard previously that there were people who were disgruntled with his coverage ability before the season had even began. So, I mean, it's not overly shocking to me.
I think the thing that I like about him is
he's not helped by the fact that the other guy is so good, though, too, that you don't want to throw to him.
I also think, well, and his big thing that, like, the thing that he does best is he is a physical dude. And so most running plays that go to his side get stopped very quickly.
Yeah.
He's very good at containing the defense. And so I think that's what I was looking at more so than like the pure coverage aspect of it.
Yeah. And that's, I'm not saying he played poorly. Right. I'm just saying, I think if between the two of them of the coverage ability, he is certainly the lesser of the two.
That's true. Yeah. Brian Peavy is very, very good though. I mean, they didn't even try.
Yeah. No. And like,
no one's really tried.
There's only been one team who's tried to throw at him and it was Iowa. And I don't know if he ever gave up a completion, to be completely honest.
Yeah, because what CeeDee Lamb had, what, two?
Yeah.
Two receptions, maybe? And CeeDee Lamb may be the best receiver
in the country.
Not named Hakeem Butler?
Yeah.
In the conference?
Yeah.
Well, maybe one of the best in the country, too?
I was going to say, him and Hollywood are probably the best 1-2 punch of receivers in college football. If they're not, then it's pretty dang close.
And then Peavy shut him down, pretty much.
This is off topic for Iowa State, but after the Iowa State game, I didn't think there would be very many other teams that would hold Oklahoma to 37 or fewer points.
And then
they went and played the Army Black Knights.
Does Texas play Oklahoma next week? Is that Red River?
No, it's the week after.
The week after? Who do they play next week?
They play Texas?
No, OU.
I know Texas plays Kansas State.
I was going to say, because OU could be in the midst of a looking past Army game.
They are playing the Baylor Bears.
That's not the case then.
Yeah, nope. I think, well, it probably didn't help Oklahoma very much that Army had the ball for like 50 minutes of the game. And I'm not even exaggerating. I'm not sure if it was 50, but it was like at least 40? 45. At least 45.
And Kyler Murray would just – they had, what, like six drives?
Yeah. Oh, no. I think that's exactly how many drives they had.
Six, maybe seven.
Yeah. They – here, I can probably pull it up. Kyler Murray went 11 for 15 for 165 yards and 3 touchdowns.
It's funny because the number at the end.
And they ran for almost 200 – actually, yeah, so almost 200 yards on 25 carries.
So they essentially had 40 snaps.
Yeah, basically.
They had 25 carries, 15. It was 11 for 15. They had 40 snaps.
I think all of Army's touchdown drives were like, it was like 9 minutes, 8 minutes. There was one that I think they went on one drive that was like 11 minutes. And Oklahoma's leading tackler had 28 tackles.
Oh, my God. What? That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Oh, they got to do a better job. That's not good. I mean, granted, no one runs the triple option anymore outside of Army, but
I was reading stuff from their press conference today, and they're saying that it was like everybody in the building was just like so glad to not have to mess with Army anymore.
That's ridiculous.
It's just like so much different that they're all like, oh my God, like I'm so glad we don't have to prepare for that again.
Yeah, because every defensive lineman is getting cut block on every single play.
Yeah.
And everything you do is about playing gap sound, tackling football. And your corners, your secondary doesn't get to do jack.
Man, I'm going to be honest. If Kansas does fire David Beatty this year, I would look real hard at Jeff Monken. Because that guy what he's done at Army is impressive. They were awful before he got there, and he's turned them into like a bowl team every year. That's pretty impressive. And I know that it's hard to run that offense and it takes a while to get the people in place, but at this point, if you're Kansas, like, what, you might as well zig like the all the other way when everybody else is zagging, you know.
I think, didn't they say that about Iowa State too? Is that they need to get someone to run the triple option, and they got Matt Campbell?
I don't think I would do that at Iowa State. Iowa State's not in quite as deep of a hole as what Kansas is.
Very
much Kansas
true.
Can't even fill all their scholarships at this point.
They also can't, like, they're paying, like, what, $8 million to coaches that aren't even in there?
Yeah, I think that might be done now. But
Charlie?
They were.
Was Charlie done?
Yeah, I think that ran out, like, last year. I could be wrong. But,
or Turner Gill, too?
But no. Which, I mean, what am I talking about? Kansas, they've won two in a row, won two games already this year. How'd their game against Baylor go?
Not good. No, it's like 30-7.
Okay, never mind then. But
Central Michigan and Rutgers. And Rutgers just got housed by Buffalo. Rutgers got beat 45-7.
I'm pretty sure Buffalo's in the top 25 this week.
They got beat by 32 points at home to a MAC team.
I'm going to look. I'm pretty sure that...
I mean, they might be. Sure. Fine.
That's kind of a...
You don't get beat at home by 35 points.
I feel like...
I don't know how much.
Oh, no. They're not in the poll. They got 6 points, though.
Ooh.
So there you go. Go Bulls. Buffalo Bulls.
The Buffalo Bulls.
Were there any other Big 12 games that caught your attention?
I thought TCU, Texas.
What about – I want to talk about that one after our next break.
Tech OSU.
Tech OSU, I think, was the most surprising one.
It was definitely most surprising.
The fact that Kansas State could only muster 6 points on West Virginia and got housed, I think, was kind of – surprising.
I think that says two things. I think West Virginia is very good.
Yeah.
I also think that Kansas State is not good.
No.
This year.
Bill Snyder apparently said something after the game where he was like, I can't coach a team that can only get 2 inches on every play.
Wow.
Yeah.
Bill with the barbs.
Is the vampire's magic gone? Oh, man. But yeah, that Texas Tech Oklahoma game or Oklahoma State game.
I thought you were going to toss to a break.
Shocking to me.
That's why I didn't say much, because I thought you were going to toss to a break.
Well, I was going to. I thought we were going to talk about the Big 12 for a second.
No, but I thought you were teasing that you were going to toss to a break. And now I'm just sitting here like an idiot.
All right. Well, I guess we'll take a break on Football and Random Things presented by Iowa Diamond on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network.
Hey, guys, it's Chris Williams. We're in the heart of football season now, and I got to tell you, I feel a lot better than I did a year ago, and I owe a lot of that to Dr. Kruger at the Ames Eye Clinic. Also, their Des Moines location is, they're called Des Moines Eye Care in Des Moines. Same guys, really great eye doctors. I never thought that I had eye problems. I don't really have problems seeing or anything like that, but I was suffering from chronic headaches. I mean, it was nonstop. I always had a headache, and I think a lot of it was because I stared at a screen all day. Dr. Kruger took a look at my eyes, took him about a half hour, and he knew exactly what was wrong. Prescribed me some glasses that now I use while I'm on my computer, while I'm working for you guys at Cyclone Fanatic all day, and man, has it made a difference. I'm even sleeping better. I challenge you, if you have a problem like this, any sort of eye problem, to contact our friends at Des Moines Eye Care and the Ames Eye Clinic. You can check out DesMoinesEyeCare.com. or AmesEyeClinic.com. I would encourage you to do this and tell them that we sent you. Tell them thank you for supporting what we're doing here at Cyclone Fanatic.
Welcome back to Football and Random Things on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network. Time for the Ames Eye Clinic eye-catching player of the game. Jeff, who was it?
I believe the fans and I differ in our analysis of who should be the eye-catching player of the game.
Whomst. I have no idea.
Whomst.
This week's Ames eye-catching player of the game, a repeat winner, it is Akeem Butler by a
pretty narrow margin.
Yeah, he got 31% of the vote. Jaquan Bailey got 29% of the vote. Greg Eisworth had 22%, and David Montgomery had 18%, and you have
Dave Montgomery.
Issues with that.
I would take Dave Montgomery because you were finally able to establish a solid run game in a very vanilla team, or a very vanilla output. You weren't really trying to throw the ball down the field. Like, I'm not going to argue those other guys, because I do think that Hakeem Butler changes the dynamic of the game, and I'm not going to argue with the fact, because in that fourth down conversion, he had the touchdown that was, like, a pretty athletic play.
Yeah.
It's his call. Yeah. Call a spade a spade.
Yeah, when you go flying through the air upside down and keep your hand inbounds and hit the pylon, do you think you could do that? He basically did a cartwheel into the end zone.
I think I could, but my arms aren't near long enough. It'd be like on the two. Like, I mean, I have long arms, but they're not 7 foot like his are.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I would go with Dave Montgomery because he was actually able to establish a run game. He ran for over 100 yards for the first time all season. Did a lot of things with not a lot.
Yeah.
And allowed the rest of the offense to stay moving. So when in doubt, I'm always going to be biased towards running backs.
Hakeem Butler is this week's Ames Eye Clinic eye-catching player of the game. 2 weeks in a row, Hakeem. Got anything to say?
Dos.
Dos. That is Spanish for two.
What an ad, Jeff.
Thanks, man. Wow.
Last game of the year. Could only think back now.
I feel like that. I feel like Hakeem Butler could probably win every week.
I hope he does, because that means he is producing a lot of points.
Yeah.
And if he's producing a lot of points, Iowa State's offense is doing pretty good for themselves.
That's probably true.
So I would like it if Hakeem Butler, if a wide receiver is getting like the Ames Eye Clinic eye-catching player of the game, if we are giving it to a wide receiver every week, we're in a good spot.
I need to talk to Chris, because I believe that Connor Solly should have at least had an opportunity to be on the list. Should have been nominated.
Hey, special teamers for life.
I tweeted it out. He got screwed for Big 12 Player of the Week. How many Big 12 kickers are 7-for-7 on the year?
Don't you freaking jinx that, you asshole.
I'm not saying that he's going to. Actually, no, we can blame Brent Bloom for that, because he's the one who tweeted out that Iowa State will never miss a kick ever again. He tweeted that.
Brent!
You know, it's really loud in my ear.
I actually kind of a stereo popped myself, too.
Yeah, that really hurt my ears.
Do a desk pop.
My headphones are up loud.
You should do a desk pop.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, my God. No. You've never seen the other guys?
Oh, okay. Yeah, no. I didn't know what you're talking about.
You got to do a desk pop.
Yeah. No, we're not going to do that.
Hey, Terry, I did a desk pop. You actually did it?
Okay. TCU this Saturday.
Very interesting matchup here.
Very interesting matchup.
Iowa State is basically playing Iowa State in purple. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of what their team is sort of like. They're a very defensively sound team. They don't do a lot of flashy stuff. They do like to bring pressure. I mean, they're an aggressive defense. But for the most part, you can predict what you're going to get from TCU. They're not quite as stable as Iowa, where it's like, all right, they're going to run three fronts the whole game. But they're also not like Baylor was a team like this, where they're going to come out and like when I was playing, where they're going to come out like three or four different fronts, and they're going to blitz nine different ways out of that same look. They're multiple, but they're not over the top multiple.
Are you okay?
Yeah. Okay. Just making sure I got a text message.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and I mean, I think the offense has been up and down so far this year. They were obviously good against two very bad teams to start the season, mm-hmm. and then were solid against Ohio State
for two quarters,
and then against Texas they were solid for a little
two
bit
quarters.
And then did not play very well in the second half.
What I think the quarterback is, he's a pup. I mean, he's a super athletic.
He's
super,
a sophomore, yeah.
Sophomore, yeah. He's super athletic, but he is. He makes a lot of bad decisions.
Yeah.
He throws his way out of them, and he runs his way out of them. He's like Trevon Boykin a little bit in that respect, where he just cannon, super athletic, but doesn't quite – again, we talk about Mike Rose with not having quite the bank of information to pull from, where he doesn't quite have the bank of information to pull from of when you're looking at a defense and you, by your technical read of what the paper says, you do this. But then in actuality, what does it look like in practice, not in – theory. And so I think there's a lot of times that that's what has gotten them, I think, in a lot of mistakes, like, or in a lot of trouble. Is like one I was thinking of is they were against Texas and they were, I think, down by 14 and they were driving down the field. They're in the red zone. They just got a turnover and he goes to throw a seam route to somebody and hits a Texas Longhorn player in the numbers. I mean, the guy doesn't barely even have to move, hits him right in the chest, because in theory, there was one guy that was probably supposed to be somewhere, and it didn't actually pan out that way. So I think the talent is there, and I think they're also they have a lot of potential of being a very good offense, but I also think that they have a lot of potential to make a lot of mistakes, mm-hmm. which is good for an Iowa State team, which...
That's not that much different than what they were a year ago, honestly.
No, and I watched the Iowa-Wisconsin game, and Joel Klatt said this about Iowa's defense, and I think Iowa State's defense, runs in a similar fashion, where it's basically like, I dare you to run 14 plays in a row and not screw up. I dare you. And so with TCU, I think that should bode okay, mm-hmm. where if you can keep them and make them run a high volume of plays, they're going to screw up at least one of them because they're young.
They proved that a year ago.
Right. Mm-hmm. That you can make them do stuff
Sometimes you'll get poorly. All the way to the 14th play, like they did twice when they fumbled inside the five and then threw an interception inside the five.
Yeah. I dare you to do it right.
Yeah.
14 times in a row.
Right.
And I don't think you can do it 14 times in a row correctly.
Yeah. I mean, Sean Robinson was a highly touted kid coming out of high school.
He's a five-star, wasn't he?
I don't. 247 Composite has a four-star. He was the number six dual threat quarterback in the country.
What a schmuck.
Right. You were a no star. We talked about this last week. So
I was an N-R.
Yeah.
I didn't even not get a rated star. It was N-R. No one even spent the time. You know, this white kid from Central Iowa.
We know you spent time to try and get the stars, though. We talked about that last week, too.
I didn't pick the music. The guy who made my highlight DVD picked the music. I like the Linkin Park. It leads off with Linkin Park. And then it goes to Red Hot Chili. No, then it goes to...
When is it Welcome to the Jungle?
Welcome to the Jungle is... No, Welcome to the Jungle leads it off, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought
that
was
the first
one.
And then Linkin Park comes after that. And then I think it goes to Red Hot Chili Peppers, I think. Yeah.
And that's super, super... If I don't know that anything could say I am a white running back from Central Iowa more than
Welcome to the Jungle.
Yeah, Welcome to the Jungle, Linkin Park, and the Red Hot Chili Peppers on your highlight tape.
Again, the guy, there was just a guy that my mom worked with that was just doing us a favor because he had DVD capabilities to upload and download and like knew how to do a video editor. We didn't even pay him to do it. It was just free. It was kids these days. They don't know. They don't know the struggle.
All right. So what's the keys for Iowa State? First on offense. Give me two keys.
Run the ball. Continue to run the ball effectively. I mean, no matter what you do, no matter what offense you're playing, if you can run the ball effectively, you're going to have an open offense, especially when you got dudes like Hakeem Butler. Mm-hmm. And if you can get them to commit guys to the box, then you're going to have openings to throw it to your go-go gadget arm wide receiver.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing would be to take care of the ball. Like, run the ball, take care of the ball, and then everything else opens up after that. You still need to take shots down the field. But that's going to come off of run action. You're still going to be able to get those, you know, the bubble screen one-on-one blocking situations, but that's only if there are guys that are paying attention to the box, and run action is actually a problem. So I think those two things, if you can run the ball and take care of, or run the ball and take care of it, then you're going to be fine.
Defensively?
I think they, again, so tackle, like, don't do the Oklahoma defense where granted, Oklahoma's really good, but the tackling that they did that week did not set themselves up for success. Mm-hmm. And then the other, like, this is less sexy. I think three or four very unsexy answers. Like, take a big shot. The other thing is, make the quarterback make mistakes and capitalize on them when they do. So he's going to throw you a couple chances to get a pick. Mm-hmm. Like, he's going to leave one short. He's going to make a bad decision. He's going to throw into coverage. Don't tip it out of bounds or let it bounce off your face. Like, you take advantage of it. Get a turnover. And that's what won the game last year. Is they, what, four turnovers? Three? Three or four.
Yeah, I don't.
And
yeah,
so
don't
you're remember. Gonna. That's what won the game last year against TCU was turnovers. Mm-hmm. And so you're gonna get a guy who has the potential to throw picks, catch them. That's what Texas did. That's how they went from it was a tight game where TCU was slightly ahead to TCU getting or Texas running away with it, and TCU really not being able to do anything back.
Yeah.
So take advantage of opportunities when they are in front of them and make the quarterback make mistakes.
Do they win the game?
I hope so. I'm going to – can I do like a – not a parlay. It's like a suit, like a reverse parlay where like they're going to win one of the next two.
Okay.
I'm going to put it that way. They're going to win one of the next two. I don't know if that's Fort Worth. I don't know if that's Stillwater, but they win one of the next two. They come back to Ames at 2-3.
Which place is harder to go play?
Oh, Stillwater. That's not because Stillwater is really hard to play. Fort Worth is fine.
Yeah.
Like, there's really nothing – it's not a bad environment. The fans are way off the stadium. The only thing that's hard about TCU is their field sucks.
Does it?
It's a grass field. And we get spoiled at Jack Trice, and like we kind of make jokes about, like, oh, you know, voted number one best turf.
They really are,
it
though.
It really is. Like, yeah. It's really good grass. And then you go down to Fort Worth, and it's like the field is crowned weird. Like, it's really high in some spots and really low in some spots. It's like patchy grass. Like, you go to drive, and like their foot moves. It and Stillwater is it's not an easy place to play, but it's not excessively hard.
Have you seen their new video board?
No.
In
Stillwater?
It is obnoxiously large.
Wait, T. Boone Pickens made something that was obnoxious?
You know, like, the building that's in one of those end zones?
Yep. It's the whole building?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a locker room side. I ran into one of them. I scored there and then ran into one of the walls because it's, like, 4 feet off the pylon.
That's where they have the paddles, right? And, like, smack the walls.
Which really isn't that loud.
Yeah. They make a big deal out of that on TV. They were talking about that in the Iowa game on Saturday night, how those people, like, smack the pads.
It's not.
And I was like, I don't think that.
It's not.
I've never really heard of that being a big deal before.
It's not. Like, it's more like, are you guys done? Like,
yeah.
That's more what it is. It's, you know.
You think you're making a difference and you're not.
You're really not changing anything.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. Okay, if you're going to. I would take them to. I think it depends on the quarterback, because if the quarterbacking, because like at the end of the TCU Texas game, the TCU starting quarterback left with a shoulder injury, and I don't remember if it was his throwing arm or his non-throwing arm, but either way, I would assume he's not at 100%. You get him rattled, you get him physically like damaged. The guy they have behind him, not good. And so if you can physically get this quarterback off his game, you come out with the win. If you don't, then just because they're at home, it's TCU, well, I'll take them not winning this week, but then winning next week.
Oklahoma State's career leading receiver decided to transfer today.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Which one?
McCleskey, I think is his name. Yeah, he said he didn't get the ball enough, so he decided to take his ball and go home.
Okay, Keyshawn Johnson.
All right, man. You got any final thoughts?
Not as giggly as last week.
Let's not talk about ball sacks as much next week, okay?
No promises.
All right.
I make no promises.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Football and Random Things.
Which spells?
Football and Random Things, presented by Iowa Diamond. We will talk to you guys again next week. Peace.